Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Believe in Bears. My name is Joey Christopoulos and my co-host Corey Wooten. But first, today's episode is presented by BetOnline.ag. Football, it's back and better than ever, and all eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on the field for another football season. And as always, BetOnline, it's your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. So what are you waiting for? Get on the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, and don't forget to use the promo code BELIEVE, BLEAV, to receive that bonus. Football, basketball, boxing, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Bet online, where the game starts. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming into the pod. We've got an action-packed Bears-Lions Week 4 preview for you. Real quick, we got a special guest here. We've got to say hello to my co-host, former Bears defensive end, a man who played for both of these teams. So he's got a little bit of skin in the game on both sides. What's up, Corey?
What's going on, Joey? How you doing, man?
So great to see you, man. Ready to cut it up with you. And we are so honored and happy to have this guest on here today. Former NBA Chicago Sky hoopster. She's the NFL Network's national correspondent. She works for Fox Sports and 670 The Score as a contributor. I got a lot of favorite friends over at that place. It is Stacey Dales. Hello, Stacey.
What's up, guys? So happy to be with you. Thanks for having me. Before you ask me questions, I've interviewed you, Corey. How did I do?
Yeah. You did a great job. I was talking to Joey about that. I said, you know, it was when he first told me that you were going to come on the podcast. I was like, shoot, I've done a bunch of interviews with Stacey. She's amazing at what she does. And I told him, I said, you know, I don't know if you remember, I've seen you play pickup. You still got it a little bit. My wife and some of her former teammates at DePaul were playing in a league and you were there. You still got the burner a little bit, you know, just a little bit.
No, I got an eye roll for myself there. But no, I always would ask for Corey, Joey, because he's like the nicest guy and he could rush the hell out of the passer. And I, like, who better to ask to dial up this, you know, they're never going to give a scheme, right? But he was always like, just so authentic and so kind, which is how he is now. And so I was teasing a little bit, but I think the basketball days kind of helped me in the journey, just navigate players and whether they're football players or hoopers or whatever it is. So I feel like I'm with family kind of here in this little setting. Exactly. Media, sports. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, Stacey, yep. when I was hooking up with co-hosts to try and figure out who to host Believe in Bears this year, I asked for two things. I asked for a man with huge biceps. And I asked for a man to tap Brett Favre on the shoulder and said no more. Those are the two things that I wanted. And I got it with Corey. And Stacey, give yourself credit. I'm a stat geek, so I kind of got on Basketball Reference last night.
Oh,
Corey,
God.
You're gonna love this. A back-to-back stretch, Phoenix and Houston, 12 of 22 for 23 points, 18 points, 2007 against the Sky. That's a heater, Stacey. That must have felt good, right? Were you in the zone? Was the basket bigger?
Well, obviously it was. I don't know. Maybe I was just having better red wine at that stage of my life. I'm not really sure. Yeah, I do remember playing Phoenix though, because I played Taurasi in college. And of course she's like one of the top five greatest players ever. And they came to Chicago and I thought to myself, man, I better ball out and I better shoot it good. Cause you know, when you're playing somebody like that, you got to win, but I don't remember stats and I don't remember numbers. So you've just outdone yourself with that. It's so funny. Like I'll talk to NFL players. I'm like, what did you average in 2014? It's like an automatic distribution of stats, whatever position it is. And I was just totally opposite of that. So go figure.
Well, don't tell that to the Orlando Miracle, because you housed them in three or four games. I think your highest career average is against the Orlando Miracle. But I digress. Corey, man, get us started here. Let's start talking some Lions Week 4, man. Let's dive into it. It's a big week, and it's September, and is it must-win week already?
Yeah, I think it is, you know, after last week. And Stacey was at the game. I saw your pregame interview. I saw your postgame interviews out there. And I saw how you talked about in the pregame how they were having a unique plan for Justin Fields, him and Matt Nagy. That plan didn't really carry out during the game. Expectations were high. I feel like the morale of the team was very high before the game. What was that like after the game in the locker room? Because I know you were there. You got a sense of the pulse of the locker room. What was the kind of morale of the locker room?
Well, Corey, great question. So we can't be in the locker room just yet, but the locker room has become the field, right? So I'm down on the field because of COVID. It was like this unbelievable sense of deflation for the Bears. And this almost surprised Browns team, Myles Garrett specifically, at how this thing unveiled itself. And I would tell you this, the buzz before the game, I talked to, honestly, like just a bunch of Bears coaches on the field or, you know, people with the team, whatever. And it was just like, there's this excitement and anticipation. I got text messages from a few coaches around the league, which is kind of weird, right? Mm-hmm. So a couple Packers people texted me, what's it like there? What's the energy like? And I was like, it's dope, man. This is awesome. It's electric already. I mean, it's a great venue, first and foremost, at First Energy, because the Browns fans are nuts, but everybody wanted to see Justin. And so from that vantage point, juxtaposing the end of the game, Corey, to answer your question, it was just night and day, a complete opposite juxtaposition based upon how everything sort of, you know, unveiled itself.
And Stacey, in your opinion this week, you know, proceeding that game, is there maybe on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, are you sensing a level of maybe some confusion? I don't know if I want to go as far as say dysfunction, but, you know, obviously Matt Nagy was a little late for his press conference. I think people are trying to read the tea leaves on what he is and what he's not saying this week. What has been the tenor just with those press conferences this week? Or is this kind of chalk it up to, you know, this is just more of the same from the Bears?
Yeah, it's really interesting because my game this week is actually Steelers Packers. So I've been totally, you know, immersed in that. But I've gone on and I've listened to all the pressers and I've watched all the pressers. First of all, the Bears changed Nagy's press conference, which used to be like 4 days a week, to three now. They moved Wednesdays this season to Thursdays, and they had the coordinators going on Wednesday with the quarterback, which I thought was an interesting move to start the season. So this week and last week, they went back to Nagy talking on Wednesday, which is the most, as you know, Corey, it's the real first day of practice. So right. It's kind of the day you want to hear from the head coach. For them not to reveal the starting quarterback, I just think they took such heat. When you have the national media coming out and demanding the head coach to be fired and the organization to make changes after three games, you almost have to internalize. So what I've sensed from the Bears is that they've completely internalized this week to where we're not giving you the starting quarterback. We're not telling you how hurt Andy is. We're not even going to tell you how Justin's quote unquote injured hand. I mean, he was full participant all week in practice, right? Andy was limited. We're not going to give that to you. So it's time for us to tighten up this ship and keep it internal. And the play calling, all of, you know, what they're doing is on the table, as they keep telling us, as Nagy told us this week. So we haven't really learned a lot. But yeah, Joey, I would just tell you it was a weird, weird week. But it's not surprising when, you know, public, you know, the sentiment publicly is to fire the head coach, which has never happened in season for the Chicago Bears. They've never fired a coach in season. So I don't know, Corey, you could speak to this. How much do we overreact when it comes to the National Football League, right? I would ask you that question, honestly.
Yeah, I think it's huge. You know, me and Joey had talked about this on an earlier podcast, like, you know, when stuff's not going the way you want it to. And since Matt Nagy has been there, the offense has never performed like they thought they would, right? When he came from Kansas City, everyone's like, well, look how great Alex Smith did there. As a game manager that came from San Francisco, and look what he did for his career. But people forget to realize that that was Andy Reid's offense, that it always had been. Matt Nagy was the title of offensive coordinator, but he didn't have that much experience calling plays. So, you know, I think that just didn't happen. So now people are like, well, he's been here for 4 years now. We haven't seen the offense flourish. You know, we have a great defense. We can't get things going. We have the quarterback that we always wanted, and things still aren't going that way. So I think everyone wants him to give up play calling duties. I'm not sure if he's ready for that. You know, I think he wants to call the plays. But at the same time, I told Joey, I think this is the most important game of Matt Nagy's career right here. You know, I think after last week's game especially, like, how are they going to bounce back offensively? And if they lose against an 0-3 Lions team, the seat is going to be hot. Like, everyone has been calling for his firing. I think it's going to continue to get hotter. You know, I just think, in my opinion, I think this is his most important game in his coaching career thus far.
Yeah, Stacey, if I can ask you, throw it back to you a little bit. You know, the cliche in the NFL is the whole just win, baby. You know, at the end of the year, if you've got the wins, you're in the playoffs, everything's fine, everything's hunky-dory. Is it fair, though, to characterize Matt Nagy's current status as beyond that, of maybe not necessarily the optics of how he goes about his business, but it is a little bit about getting this offense going and how he handles Justin Fields moving forward?
It's just, this is so complicated, because if you just go back and I've never played football. Okay. I played a sport. I've never played football. It's can be very complicated or it can be very simple. So what I do as a reporter, quote unquote, but somebody who just loves the game and watches it and goes back and watches it, I look at it back and then I talk to people I know that watch it, that are Hall of Fame quarterbacks that I work with. And I ask them, or former players that have broken down the tape, and I ask them what they think. There were so many symptoms in this game that led to problems, that led to disease, right? Like this was a 47 total yards of offense, one net passing yard. There was absolutely no run game. When you have, to me, one of the best rushers in the NFL in Montgomery, the offensive line was lost. The receivers didn't get the separation that, you know, we're accustomed to seeing a guy like Allen Robinson, who's phenomenal. And Justin didn't get the ball out. I mean, he just didn't get the football out. And now you have Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney and this barrage of Browns pass rushers after a week that they thought they performed poorly. Corey, you could speak to that. Like in the NFL, if your defense thinks that it stunk and it still won the game, and you have your best defensive player in Myles Garrett calling out his teammates publicly, probably Justin Fields doesn't want to see him on Sunday in his first start in the NFL. So when you ask me that, Joey, I kind of take it with a grain of salt a little bit when it comes to Matt Nagy. And then I go back to the history. That's why people are so up in arms right now, because of what Corey said, the history of this Bears offense and the struggles. And, you know, it's ironic, the last quarterback to, I think I have it written down here somewhere. Let me find it.
Oh, if it's Eric Kramer, I'll be upset.
No, the last quarterback to be sacked 9 or more times, because Justin was sacked 9 times with fewer than 10 completions, was a guy you played with, Jay Cutler.
Yeah, against the Giants.
Oh, yeah.
2010. Do you remember that, Corey?
The Giants, right? At Giants Stadium.
Yeah,
right?
It was a Giants week 4, yeah. 2010, and he missed the next game from injury, right? So that's why Bears fans are frankly pissed, because they want offensive production. And to put a button on what I just said, I'm sorry if I sound long-winded. Yeah, this is a really important game for head coach Matt Nagy, a guy who I really like. But the offense needs to produce. When he gave up play calling duties last year, if you go back and look, it was right around week 10, right before their bye, I think. It was a Minnesota game. And from that point on in the regular season, they ended up averaging 28 points per game. So something shifted and something changed. I remember them running the ball better. David Montgomery became David Montgomery. And I'm not putting blame on it, because I'm not in those meetings and I don't draw plays and I don't know the game like Matt Nagy does. But when I go back and I talk to a Kurt Warner, and I understand now how long this young man held the football to be sacked 9 times. Yeah. It's astonishing how that's a read. You've got to get it out of your hands and let it go and be willing to take the interception.
But that's been the big knock all week, was just not putting him in a position to succeed. You know, he's a mobile quarterback, you know, that could get his confidence up on some of those boots, some of those rollout plays, the RPOs. We didn't see much of that. And that's what's kind of surprising. And this week, I would like to see a great game plan where you allow him to use his feet. But yeah, I think everybody around, whether you're a Bears fan or not, I think everybody's going to be tuning into this game if they can, just to see if the Bears bounce back offensively. Like, we know defensively what they're capable of, but I think everybody is eyes on, you know, like last week, everybody's eyes were on seeing Justin Fields for his first start. I think this week, the same thing. I think everybody's going to be, okay, how is their offense going to do? Oh, you know, even if they do well, I think people are going to say, well, it's against the Lions. You know, Lions are 0-3 and the Bears always have great success against them. But I think it would be a step in the positive direction if they can get things going and be efficient offensively and actually game plan for his strengths.
Yeah, Stacy, let's roll it over to Bears Lions. I live in Sherman Oaks, California, so I'm just looking on my phone, but it looks like 90% rain. 90% rain on Sunday. Thunderstorms throughout the afternoon. This one could get pretty soggy pretty quickly. So I'm already kind of tempering my expectations of a high, you know, explosive offensive fireworks. But Stacy, when you're looking at this matchup, as Corey was alluding to, an 0-3 Lions team that it's been pretty frisky so far, just really hasn't put fourth quarters together. I've been talking to Lions people all week, and they're the most confident Lions fans that I've heard in a really long time, and it's driving me nuts right now. So when you look at this matchup, what do you think one of the keys is, maybe beyond Matt Nagy, what is going to be the key for the Bears to come out with a victory in the lakefront on Sunday?
Yeah, I think to match the energy, right? Because the culture there in Detroit now with a bunch of former NFL players. So the head coach, Dan Campbell, the defensive coordinator, Aaron Glenn, Anthony Lynn, the offense, they're all like, their energy is off the charts. And that's what their players have taken from everybody I've talked to in Detroit. I would just say this, like, number one, if it is Justin Fields, they better figure out, yeah, you can give up some chunk plays, or you can get some chunk plays against Detroit because they've given up a bunch on the back end, but they have a pretty decent pass rush. You know, I think if I look down and look at it, Trey Flowers is out with a knee injury. But Romeo Okwara, questionable, got a shoulder issue. Brocker's shoulder issue. DeAndre Swift still got the groin, but they're still young. They're good up front. They bring some pressure up front defensively. But then I think just this Bears defense is really good. As far as their front seven, everybody I talk to in the league believes when they face them. I remember talking to Baker Mayfield after the game last week. He's like, that front seven's no joke. And when Khalil Mack's healthy, they're legit. Jared Goff just simply struggles under pressure. I mean, you saw a bunch of them out in California, right, Joey? Like, you know, he's a good quarterback. I had their game against week two against Green Bay in Green Bay. They looked pretty good, move the ball a little bit. But when he's under duress, he struggles. I think he has got a 57 passer rating under pressure in 2021. So that tells me dial it up if you're Sean Desai and let it rip.
Yeah, that's a great call. In terms of Jared Goff out here, you know, the rap out him was that they'll start off the year and you'll see McVay trying to push the ball down the field. But if you look at his game log, slowly that yards per attempt goes down and down, which I just kind of read as a lack of trust. And that's sort of when they moved down to Detroit. Corey, hop in real quick, man. I want to hear some of your keys too. I like this secondary matchup, our Bears secondary versus their wide receivers. You're more of a front seven guy. You know, what's your take on this matchup as well?
You know, I like that matchup, you know, against I think TJ Hockenson's a guy you really have to watch out for. I think he's the engine that runs that offense. And I would much rather have a tight end be the playmaker, because I feel like that's a guy you can really keep tabs on, right? I think they're going to try to double Hockenson in the red zone. You know, guys like Roquan Smith and Eddie Jackson, I think they're going to be on him most of the time, and they're going to keep all the attention on him because they try to target him all the time. But I think this game is going to come down to the running game, right? It's going to be a wet game out there on Soldier Field. You know, everybody and their mother complains about the conditions of Soldier Field. Stacy knows about this, right? Everyone says Soldier Field is the worst when it comes, you know, situations, the grass, the turf. And I think it's going to come down to the running game. So I'm hoping in a situation the Bears play the run really well, with the exception of last week. They really struggled on that. But I think against Detroit is a team they're very familiar with. Detroit hasn't run the ball particularly well this season so far. I think it's going to come down to David Montgomery versus Williams in there, because Swift has kind of been banged up. So I think that's going to be the key matchup. We're going to see that rushing game. I think whoever wins the battle of the rushing game is going to win this game.
But can we just can we really talk about the field though, Corey, because you've played on it. I stand on it. So I don't run around. I don't have cleats on. But if I were on it,
The high cleat when you were playing, you know, I
guess. Oh, dude, I don't do heels at games. sneakers all the way. It's just so hard. The ground is so hard, right, Corey? Like, you've played, I'm at probably most every stadium in the NFL. Like, people always ask me, but I don't play. Like, describe it really though for listeners, because when I stand on it, I'm like, there comes back my plantar fasciitis, like, you know.
Yeah, like, it's a tough field. I mean, honestly, we always like playing on the road, but at the same time, we like playing at home just because we feel like we know how to play on that surface. Other teams that are explosive it doesn't suit them very well. So these teams that, you know, have a lot of cutback running backs or receivers and a lot of speed, you know, that field kind of negates that. But yeah, it honestly, you know, it's a tough field to play on. I wish it was better for an NFL team, you know, to have a field like this. This is mind blowing to me. But at the same time, it's not owned by the Bears, owned by the city. So it's a different grounds crew. I truly believe if it was owned by the Bears, it would be, you know, taken care of differently. And I saw they just bought with the Arlington.
Should we go to Arlington, guys? Should we
go? I think they're trying to figure out a scenario where they can make the field better because, you know, I think that sometimes affects certain free agents coming in, you know, if speed positions, you know, people that want to play on a faster surface. Soldier Field, says, you know, that's not the fast surface at all. And people always complain about it, you know, especially in wet conditions. People talk about losing their footing all the time, mm-hmm. that they don't at other stadiums. So it's always been the kind of Achilles heel of Soldier Field.
Yeah. I mean, I watch the grounds guys work. They work their butts off, but you know, and then I think about the Arlington thing. I had dinner there like 2 months ago in Arlington Heights. It's a cute little town. It's cute.
Yeah.
Imagine they put, and I love the nostalgia of old stadiums. You know, I know Lambeau has upgraded over the years, but you think about Buffalo, the Raiders are no longer in Oakland. But yeah, it's with Arlington, if you can think about like, would you ever have a Super Bowl? Well, they had the Super Bowl in Minnesota, which was like, beautiful, but kind of horrific because it was a snow, like a messy snow thing.
I heard Indianapolis's was cool. I thought they did a good job.
They did, and they didn't have weather and everything. You can walk in Indy, but like if the big.
What about Giant Stadium? Remember Giant Stadium back in 2014? I went to that game. It was right down the street from.
Yes. I got stuck there. I had to drive to White Plains, New York, to get out because it was such a snow squall. So. I don't know. I'm part of me thinks like maybe in Arlington Heights, if they build a beautiful dome, like a SoFi type stadium,
that'd be dope.
Yeah. I mean, maybe, and then you get different concerts and stuff like that where you use it all year round, but yeah, who knows?
I mean, if you live south of 8th Street, though, that's like 2 hours. I'm just, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I guess my follow-up, Stacey, too, is just, it's just interesting. We've been seeing this go on for years now. This is nothing new from Seattle's basketball to San Diego, just NFL organizations or sports organizations in general, dealing with the city and these veiled, sometimes substantial threats of us moving around. It can be kind of tough for a fan like me just to kind of go through this, even though I understand it's a business.
Yeah, and fans spend a lot of money, and the NFL is a big-time money maker. I mean, but yeah, I think the point is every stadium is different. I'll give you a very basic example. When I do games in Detroit, speaking of the Lions, when I get up in the morning on Sundays, it's going to be a long ass day. Like it's going to be a 17-hour work day. I got to have my coffee. So I learned quickly, I've got to either figure out a way to hide my coffee going in because you're not allowed to bring beverages into Ford Field. So they're the only stadium that's never let me bring a coffee in, but it's, I don't know who the Ford fam. I don't know who does run the show there because when I have to, like, they confiscated my coffee, Joey, when I went into Ford Field, when I was like a quote unquote, a rookie in the business. Yes. And I'm like, I started figuring out, okay, I need to chug it. And then I was like, well, what security guard do I need to know before I go in? Who's like, yeah, I got you, girl. You know? So anyway, every place is different.
I know why, because it's probably you had some Starbucks and they might have a partnership with Tim Hortons, you know, the chain out there. So that's probably what it was. Yeah, exactly. That's what it was. You probably had the Starbucks and they weren't feeling that. So that's probably what it was.
Yeah. And I'm Canadian. So yeah, it is Tim Hortons because they do have that weak Tim Hortons coffee. With all due respect, whoever makes it at Ford Field, it's just like bad hotel coffee. So
that's the worst, right? Yeah, you got to have the French press. That's the best. That's the best kind you can do.
Oh yeah.
I just like it straight up.
I've never had a cup of coffee in my life.
See, you swear to God.
Yeah, I'm that guy. I never tried it. It's not that I dislike it. I've never tried it. I've never been there. I don't know what it's like. So if you don't know, you know, ignorance is bliss.
Oh, man.
Like, crazy. I know. Mind blowing.
So what's your elixir? What gets you going in the morning?
I take my dog for a walk for 20 minutes when I wake up. Come home. I will have a Gatorade Zero. I get real bad about it, get real edgy, little Gatorade Zero, and that's it. I don't have any coffee. It's crazy.
Wow. No tea, nothing. No caffeine.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah, I mean, you're already a pretty chipper guy. Like, I know, this guy seems like he wakes up in the morning like,
Maggie, what are we doing?
Exactly. You got a lot of energy. So coffee would probably make you go, you know, you'd probably be super hyper.
We just got a couple minutes left with NFL Network Stacey Dales. We're so happy to have her on the pod here on Believe in Bears. Thank you so much for coming in. I really wanted to ask you this question, Stacey and Corey. I really want you to weigh in on this one too as well. You know, forgive me when I'm doing the research and stuff. You go on Wikipedia, and I just want to go back to your basketball career for a second. And it said there that you dealt with a condition called Raynaud's phenomenon. Is that, am I saying that correctly? So I've never personally heard of that before, and I'm going to take a wild guess that maybe you hadn't heard of it before when you got started. Can you guys just talk through what it's like to be a professional athlete, to have something going on with you that you can't pinpoint or figure out, the frustration of that and the process that you go through? Because I just think of Jonathan Toews right now, and I think what he's probably been through the last year and a half. He's back on the ice now. Hopefully he stays healthy, but I think he went through a scenario where he was a little bit in the dark too as well. I can't imagine what that's like for professional athletes. Can you just speak on that experience? And Corey, just, you know, weigh in on, you know, sometimes injuries that you don't know where they're coming from, what's happening, but you just want them to get fixed. It's frustrating.
Yeah, it's like you spend your day as an athlete. I describe people, being an athlete is actually, don't take the word selfish the wrong way. It's very selfish, because you have to do every single thing in your power on a daily basis to minimize every possible, you know, ailment that can come along. Make sure you're in your ritual. Make sure you're putting the right things in your body. It's like a full-time job to be able to perform. And so when something comes up, like the Raynaud's thing, it's a symptom of circulation in your limbs to where you're cold. And so for a basketball player, I was like, I started in the WNBA and I'm like, why am I, my hands frozen? Like I'm sweating. Like it's an actual condition that, you know, you have to learn. I would take hot packs. I would do different things. I had a situation my senior year of college where I had no energy, and my teammates were like, what's wrong with you? Well, they figured out I was like borderline anemic. So I had to completely, and it was through a series of tests. So yeah, there's always things that come up. You never want anybody to know about them because then there's a weakness there. And then you have injuries along the way that I played with a degenerative disc my entire career. Hmm. You kind of learn, like Corey, right, how to manage it. And You always wonder, what could I have been if I were able to optimize my health? But it's just not possible when you're playing at the pro level, regardless of female, male, and whatever sport. Now, the NFL is an absolute violent industry. Like, I honestly, when I stand down there, Corey, and watch y'all, like, it's insanity, the noise that comes from just a trench collision, right? So I think it's a great question, Joey. And I think that, you know, injuries are a part of it, but yeah, you're always searching for that perfect, you know, way to optimize.
Yeah. No, I agree with her. And I know for me, when I was in college, my junior year, I had never been injured ever before. I make it to our bowl game. We're playing against Mizzou, Chase Daniel, Jeremy Maclin. I have 11 sacks that year. I'm projected as a first rounder. Then I tear my ACL, MCL, meniscus in that final game. Right. So I come back for my fifth year. Nothing's the same. I don't feel good at all. I end up getting drafted in the fourth round to the Bears the next year. And then just throughout my whole career, I never felt right again. You know, the knee always just felt off. And then as time got on, you know, I had a meniscus to that same knee. And then, you know, compensating caused a hip injury. So I had a labrum that I played with 2013. 2012, I had one of my best seasons there. I had 7.5 sacks. You know, it was looking like, you know, I was going to get renegotiated, possibly come back that next year. You know, in training camp, I hurt something in my hip and I'm like, what the, you know, it just didn't feel right. So I ended up getting an MRI. I've torn labrum. So instead of sitting out that season, I play that season. Big season for me. It's a contract season. Then we have Henry Melton, our Pro Bowl defensive tackle. He goes down with the ACL. So I have to move from defensive end to D tackle. Then Stephen Paya gets hurt. So then I'm full time at defensive tackle, which, you know, I thought it was a pretty good thing because I'm like, oh, I'm showing the versatility. Then when the season, comes to an end, I have to get surgery on my hip in my contract year. So of all things, you know, it's just, you can never time anything perfectly, right? Like, you're going to have injuries, and then some guys just play through it. I'm glad I got the surgery when I did, because I've known people that have waited too long and then they had to get an early hip replacement. That's something I always wanted to avoid. But, you know, Stacey knows this, like, when you play, you just learn how to be in pain a little bit. You kind of learn how to play through things. You know, she had the back thing. My wife is the same thing. She had three herniated discs, and it's something you just learn how to play with. And, you know, I feel so much better now. Everyone asks me, oh, how do you feel on Sundays or Mondays? I said, I feel great. Like, I feel better than ever.
He's hitting 402. He's hitting 402 down the fairway now.
Yeah. So I golf a little bit. It's a lot easier on your body. But, you know what? I felt so relieved when I retired, because, you know, you could attest to this. It's, you never realize how much stress and how much pressure whatever professional sport you're playing in brings you. Right. And then when I retired, I was like, oh my God, I feel great. Like, I loved playing in the NFL. It was a dream of mine. It was a passion, but I never realized how much I enjoyed regular life that much more. Right. You know, once I disconnected from that, you know, that'll always be something about our lives of professional athletes. But I think the thing is, I just wanted to show, and I'm sure you're the same way, that we're more than an athlete, you know, as cliche as that sounds, but it was just something like that for me.
Yeah, no, it absolutely makes sense. You do live through a bountiful pain, I would say. I have a herniated disc in my neck currently that is an old injury that I'm just waiting to have surgery on. And then I look at, like, take it back to the Bears right now. So I'm standing on the field in Cleveland and I'm looking at Tariq Cohen, who's their Tyreek Hill, right? Mm-hmm. And what he's gone through with his ACL, and he's walking with this stiff leg, you guys, like, whatever happened to this young man is significant. And we're all like, well, we're bugging the coaches, like, well, when can he come back? And there's HIPAA and there's this and that, but he was like limping around at this, all these months later, dealing with this knee injury for a guy that is expected to be like the Tyreek Hill of the Chicago Bears. And then the mysterious back injury of Tevin Jenkins. Like, you can't mess with a back injury. I had back surgery, lower back disc replacement surgery. And it's, you know, you think about Peyton Manning in his later days, and he had the neck problems that he never told anybody about. So I think athletes, yeah, they get paid a lot, especially in the NFL, but it's a violent game, and there's a reason they don't disclose all the injuries that they don't. So.
Well, and for my side, these are actually really important perspectives that our listeners and I think fans need to hear, because just talking to Corey and other, you know, professional athletes, I get this grateful opportunity to do that. Now you begin to learn, and I've played stuff. There's a difference between pain and injury, but that's a fine line, right? It's a fine line before you move that. And, you know, fantasy football has ruined it, and I love fantasy football, but the concept of healthy has to be an eye roll for you guys, right? Like, oh, he's healthy. Like, who is healthy? Who is 100%? Who is running like the Ferrari or the Lamborghini in the questionables and all that stuff? So I really just try and I think it's important to have that kind of perspective, especially with players like Tariq Cohen, because I think a lot of Bears fans are excited to see him come back, but his one special God-given skill is that speed. He needs it, and that's where the injury is. So until he's back and feeling the way that he is, you know, that's just kind of how we have to play it. Corey, hop in.
No, and Stacey, you could attest to this from covering countless number of athletes. An ACL, the first year back, unless you're an Adrian Peterson, you're usually never the same. It's usually that second year back that you have all that juice, that confidence. And especially a guy like Tariq Cohen, it's speed, it's cutting, it's shiftiness. That's everything with the ACL. So it kind of concerns me, that I'm hoping that they don't rush him back. Because this is something that if he doesn't recover right, and you've seen this from people, they are never the same. You know, when I came back from my ACL, I came back too soon. I came back in 6 months. I probably, if I could have went back in time, and you've seen people do this, when they're a highly touted prospect out of college, they usually sit out, like Antonio Cromartie, right? His final year at Florida State, he had sat out. Just recovering from the injury, from that ACL, and then he came back, did the combine, showed that he was healthy, and was a first-round pick. That's what guys are starting to do. But sometimes coaches, the pressure of this, that, they're trying to force guys out there ahead of when they should it. And with ACL, I think it's a minimum of at least a year, you know, unless you're just Adrian Peterson, you know, a freak of nature, an anomaly.
Yeah, he is a freak of nature. He's also an Oklahoma Sooner. What? I've done an ACL. I did my left ACL a long time ago. And what's even more remarkable about the NFL is, do you know how many players, like I used to cover in the nuances of Thursday Night Football, which I covered every week at every, it was awesome. And things have shifted now geographically so that we have reporters in so many places, but I would ask players, are you ready to go? Nope, not a chance. To turn your body around in the NFL for a Thursday game is, it's almost impossible. It's from a Sunday game to a Thursday with 3 days of recovery. The sort of expeditious nature of recovery, and then just now you've got to stay up later, you've got to turn your body around. So it's just a violent game. And players, yeah, a lot of players just play through injury because they have to. But you know, I kind of go into every week and I just like, I kind of pray, like nobody get hurt today, you know, nobody blow an Achilles, nobody blow a knee. It's just awful. And it happens to the great players and it happens to average players. It doesn't really matter. Injuries don't discriminate, right?
Yeah. Exactly. I never forget Saquon Buston, you know, his knee against the Bears last year. He's playing the Bears. It's advantageous for him not to be in playing the Bears. And you watch and you're just like, damn it. Like such a great player. I'm sorry, Corey, go ahead.
Haven't you seen a shift? I noticed probably around the year that I got into the league, probably 2010, where you started seeing so many Achilles, so many ACLs, like at a crazy number. I've thought about like the why, you know, I don't know if guys are just bigger, stronger, faster, or you think the offseason has anything to do with that. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, the offseason has changed, as you know. It's less time together, less time with the team. Guys are kind of doing their own thing. But I do think it's – I'd have to go back and look at the stats. But I do think it's like a relative to how certain players play the game and then just bad circumstances. Like Christian McCaffrey plays the game really hard. And I have to remind myself of that when he's injured again because – you know, he puts his body on the line at his position in so many different realms. So I think it's a part of like how guys play. Maybe for some it's conditioning related, others it's just bad circumstances. But it almost feels like every year, Corey, we get a wave of injuries and we're like, no, how could that happen? Like, you know, and I kind of look at injuries now like I did come back better than I was because I learned the game mentally basketball wise, but I think Joe Burrow is a good example of like, this guy attacked his rehab. He looks better to me now than he did before the injury. So I guess if you take it the right way and you see it as a blessing in disguise, sometimes maybe it can help you in your career. I don't know.
I do want to ask about the Super Bowl lineup. All of a sudden the halftime show is awesome. That's amazing. Corey, I want to get you weigh in on that one too, but let's just get out of here like this. You know, Stacey, do you think the Bears win this week? Do you think they're able to pull it off against the Lions here and maybe for another week, kind of maybe get back on track?
Yeah, I do. Super Bowl lineup's phenomenal. Mary J is, I'll take all of them, but she's amazing. That's a win. The Bears are going to be a win. Let's see. They have to go to the Raiders after this week. Listen to this, you guys. Okay. I'm not going to say this is a win. This has to be a win because they've got the Raiders on the road, Green Bay at home, a game I'll be at, Tampa Bay on the road, San Francisco at home, and then Pittsburgh before their bye. The Bears have to win this game. Must win.
Yes, we agree. The home schedule at least gives us some areas where we have some winnable games. But, man, we're about to enter the teeth of our schedule for sure. Corey, are you feeling a victory too? What are you saying? We're 1-2 on our picks too as well, man. Do we get back to 500 this week?
Yeah, I think the Lions, I think this is a game that the Bears usually win. They usually win two against the Lions. I think they're struggling right now. Jared Goff looks good at times, but I think the Bears have the recipe against them. Look at how they played him the past 2 years when he played for the Rams. They could really get after him. The run game's not there. I think this is going to be one of those, grind him out games where you got to run the football, and I think the Bears will come out on top.
Chicago has won 5 of the last 6, so the odds are in its favor.
I'm also feeling a slobber knocker. I think the clouds parting and the rain falling might be the best thing that Matt Nagy has going for him this week because I do see a low-scoring game. I see the Bears winning the game, but I don't think that we walk out Monday being like, hey, the offense is fixed. Justin Fields is amazing. Let's rock and roll. I think there will still be plenty of questions, even if they get a W into the win column. NFL Network's Stacey Dales, thank you so much for coming on the pod, Stacey. Rush, prog rock fan, rock and roll, go for it. Oklahoma Sooner, Chicago Sky WNBA player. Thank you so much for coming on and taking the time. Thanks to Eric Weinberger for connecting us. It was a real pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, great. Stacey. Appreciate you.
Thank you, guys. Great being on with you. E-Dub, shout out. And anytime, we just text, call. This was fun.
Thank you so much. Corey, man, this was a great pod. I'm going to do our sponsor, then you're going to take us home. Today, the episode is presented by BetOnline.ag. 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V. Also, play action pools. Look, if you can't be in the office this year, you can still win money off your coworkers. Join their office survivor pools right now. Thank you so much for checking out this pod. Hopefully get a win this weekend. Corey, take us home.
Oh, we need a big dub against the Lions this week. Thanks for tuning in. Next week, we're going to preview the Raiders game. You can find me on social media at Corey Wooten, CoreyWooton on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You know the move.
Yep. And Joey, sports guy at Twitter and Instagram. Thank you so much for checking out this pod. Be well, be safe. Please be good to each other. And you know what? Bear down. It's time. We got to do it. Bear down. Need a W.